Well, I think I speak for us all when I say I hate waiting. So much of life, though, is waiting. Waiting in store lines, car lines, airlines. Borsh and I recently flew back from Nevada, and we had a change in Dallas. And our 7 p.m. flight there to Charlotte was delayed 30 minutes. Finally, we boarded, but there was no airflow, coming down out of the little air conditioning vents. The pilot said, "Oh, yeah, we're trying to locate an air conditioning unit. It should be here shortly." It never arrived. After 15 minutes of stifling heat, the pilot said, "We're having trouble with the airplane, but we've got a ground crew coming, and they'll be here in a few moments." Well, another 15 minutes, they arrived. And after 30 more minutes, it was stifling on the plane. The pilot gets on, "Aw, folks, we're really sorry. The ground crew needs a bit more time with the plane, so we're going to ask you to deplane. But don't go anywhere, don't leave the gate area, because we're hoping for a quick fix." 4 hours later, we reboarded, flew to Charlotte, landing at 3:40 a.m. Porsche and I then drove home and got there right at 6 a.m. as you were waking up. We all hate waiting, and waiting can bring out the worst in folks. The language, the attitude, the snide remarks from passengers in the gate area was, let's just say a sad commentary on humanity. But I want to tell you, I was a good boy. I really was. I was even thanking airline workers for coming to work at midnight, okay? Now, of course, I was thinking the whole time, this is going to be a sermon illustration. I know. But I know my own dark heart and how different things might have been had I been trying to make a connection in Charlotte or was going on vacation or to a family gathering. Waiting seems like such a huge waste of time. And yet waiting is a huge part of life. And with the Lord as well. All of us are waiting on God for something. Delayed flight is nothing, considering what some of you here are waiting for. A childless couple for a child. Family members to come to Christ. A single person for marriage. The chronically ill for health or death. Waiting through a dead-end career, waiting for a breakthrough in a tough marriage, or just maybe the lonely, waiting to belong. What might you be waiting for in this season of life right now? One has said that next to suffering, waiting may be the greatest teacher and trainer in godliness, maturity, and genuine spirituality that most of us ever encounter. Next to suffering, waiting may be the greatest teacher in godliness. Well, waiting is actually a good thing? Well, waiting on the Lord is. And with this in mind, I want to begin a series. A series that will take us into June, just called Waiting on God. Waiting on God. And we want to explore dynamics and dimensions of what does it look like and mean to wait on God. And we're going to start in Psalm 37 by considering what waiting involves for us. So let's look at Psalm 37, the first 9 verses. Alan, come on and read here, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. Let's prepare our hearts for the Lord this morning. I invite you to please stand as you're able for the reading of Scripture this morning, Psalm 37 of David. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in this way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Alan. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Wait for the Lord. Now, our impatience in waiting has everything to do with where our gaze is focused. And usually it's on ourselves. You know, waiting is an infringement on my plans, my time, my life. Well, in Scripture, and this phrase occurs over 115 times, we are told to focus elsewhere on the Lord. Not self, but wait on the Lord. Now, to wait on the Lord means we are to establish two great truths in our hearts. And the first of these is that God is sovereign. And the second is we are dependent upon him. But when having to wait, we've got to focus somewhere, and we're going to focus somewhere. Well, turn your eyes to the Lord and acknowledge that he is Lord. He is sovereign even over this circumstance. One of the most comforting and challenging scriptures is Psalm 31:15. My times are in his hands. Isn't that beautiful? My times are in his hands. Portia and I quote that all the time, especially in airports. But you know, when there are delays and we're waiting on something, my times are in his hands. What a great truth. God knows us and he's got us in his grip, in his purposes. But that verse is also frustrating, especially when things are not going according to my plans, and I'm in a hurry, and I'm having to wait in traffic. What do you mean times aren't in my hands? I'm not in control here? Exactly. Ecclesiastes 7:13 says, consider the work of God. Who can make straight what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. And in the day of adversity, consider. God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. Now, this doesn't mean that we shouldn't plan. But the reality is, you know, God is sovereign and I am not. God is sovereign, not our money or our willpower or our muscle. And so whatever is in our present circumstances, crooked, a crooked predicament, we can't straighten what God has made crooked. We can't bend God to our will. So instead of fretting, you know, fret not, it only tends to evil. Instead of fretting or launching into fix-it mode, stop. Pray. Get God up. Worship him. You are sovereign here, Lord. I just need to frame my heart and mind with that reality. My times truly are in your hands. But we also need a second truth with that. I am dependent upon you, Lord. I'm absolutely dependent upon you. I mean, we Americans, we are such can-do individualists. But actually, we are needy creatures from start to finish. And so we humble ourselves in absolute dependence upon this God, that all things are from him and through him and to him. And so rest, I mean, rest in his sovereignty, rest also in humble dependency upon this sovereign God as you fix your gaze on him. Focus in the midst of waiting is critical. It's imperative. Focus on the Lord, not anything else. But then we need to take action. The action of waiting. Waiting is not some passive inaction as if there's nothing to do but sit on the couch and wait, you know, hang out, check out my messages on my phone. Consider the spiritual action of waiting. This is really where I want to focus in Psalm 37 is verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. There are three actions there. Commit, trust, and watch for God to act. That's what's implied. If God's going to act, we better be watching. We should be watching. But first, we commit our way to the Lord. We give our plans to the Lord for what we're waiting. How we're waiting, what we're waiting through. A few weeks ago, I mentioned Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China in the late 1800s, and how he learned to stop struggling and simply to rest in Jesus and to draw life and strength from resting in Jesus. Well, his favorite hymn of all time was the one we sang at the start of the service, Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. Well, one time a friend brought him news of rioting in two mission stations in China, and the rioting actually led to the deaths of 76 missionaries. And this was the Boxer Rebellion in China. In fact, one of the ones who died was the brother. He was actually beheaded. He, his wife, and his son beheaded. He was the brother of the woman who wrote the hymn, Jesus, I am resting, resting. Kind of ironic. Well, this man brought this news to Taylor that, you know, there's rioting at these stations. And he thought, you know, I should leave Hudson Taylor, you know, just time to be by himself and to process this. And so he turned to leave. Well, all of a sudden, Hudson Taylor started whistling. Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. And this man stopped and he turned around and he said, how can you be whistling at a time like this? I mean, our people are in danger. And Taylor replied, would you have me be anxious and troubled? That would not help them and would certainly incapacitate me for the work. I just have to roll the burden onto the Lord. See, this is the activity of waiting. It is committing everything to the Lord by rolling the burden onto him. Where have you been made to wait for something? It's not something you asked for. It's not something you want in your life, but you are having to wait. Maybe it frightens you. Maybe it's tempting you to fret. It's overwhelming your life. Roll the burden onto the Lord. Commit it to him in prayer. But then there's a second action, trust him. Now, you know, trust the Lord, that's such a Bible phrase, isn't it? What does it mean? To trust the Lord means to anchor ourselves, to ground ourselves in the goodness of God's character and promises. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good to them that wait for him. The Lord is good. You know, trust is this confidence of God's goodness. That God's not heartless or uncaring. He is loving. He is a good God. And this is the one who's holding me and the burden that I've rolled over to him. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Trusting means we wait in this assurance that God hears our prayer, that he inclines. It's like God leans in so that he doesn't miss a single soft whisper of ours that we're trying to utter before him. He inclines his ear. He hears my cry. God does not turn a deaf ear. He knows what we're waiting for, waiting through, and he hears our cries. Isaiah 40, 31, they that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. You know, trust in God means we believe his promises. that he promises to help us, strengthen us, sustain us, renew us, bless us. And we just came through Easter, you know? And God promised throughout the Old Testament that he would rescue his people from sin, death, and hell and give them eternal life. Well, God did it by giving his own son in death for us and then raised him from the dead, never to die again. And so Jesus ever lives for what? To make every promise of God yes and amen in our lives. Now, if God would do this for us, what would he possibly now withhold from us that we need for life and godliness? What good would he withhold? There's nothing. And who's going to stop him? Jesus is alive forever. He's alive to make every promise of God good in our lives. He who began a good work will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. This is our God. He is good. And the action of waiting locks in with trust on the character of God and the promises of God. They're all true, good, and sure. Well, committing, rolling the burden onto the Lord, trusting him. But there's one other action here, the action of waiting, and it is watching. Psalm 37:5 ends, and he will act. Now, if he's going to act, we should be watching for him to act. Expecting him to act. And I think that's the question. Do you really expect God to act? I hear some yeses. That's good. And some absolutelys. But I think you guys might be exceptional. So I'm going to put myself at the front of this line. My faith is so dim-witted at times. I'll pray and then, passionately in the moment believe. But if something good doesn't really come along immediately, I'll forget what I prayed about and just go on. Expectant waiting is watchful for the Lord. We're watching for the Lord to work, to answer, to give strength, to meet us. We may not know how or when or what. But we're gonna watch like a pregnant woman watches for the baby to come. It's gonna come, you know. She can't force it. She can't make it happen on her own willpower or timing. But she remains expectant, and she's gonna wait as long as it takes, right? Because she knows the baby's gonna come. Well, the Lord will act. And so this action of waiting involves this expectant watching. On Wednesday night, our prayer meeting was prohibited from using our regular place for gathering because it was a temporary storage room. And so we met here in the chapel. And by the way, we are now going to meet in the chapel from here on out. And if you might not come regularly to prayer meeting, but if you want prayer for yourself or loved ones, come on, we are ready to pray. 6 o'clock chapel here. But we gathered 6 o'clock here, and our prayer focus was Acts 10, the story of Peter and Cornelius. Read it later, not now, but it's just God's fingers are all over that story of how this Jewish man comes and brings Jesus to this Gentile soldier. Okay, it's a great story. And our prayer out of that was this: God, would you bring together those who are ready to hear about the Lord with those who are ready to tell about the Lord. Okay? Now, we prayed, and we're hopeful, we're expecting that God was going to do something, maybe out there, but not in here. But halfway through our prayer meeting, we're all gathered at the front here, some guy comes in with a friend, and he blurts out, "Excuse me, sorry for interrupting, but can I play a song on the piano?" I won't tell you what went through my mind initially, but it wasn't kind. But then, it kind of kicked in. Well, we're waiting on the Lord. We're watching. So we said, sure. Well, he was actually on the phone talking to his dad. His dad had been a student here in the late 70s, and he wanted to play a song for his dad in the chapel. So he came up here, he played a song, it was real short, and then he came down, and, we wouldn't let him just walk out. We said, "What's your name? And what's your story?" And he's the keyboard player for some band, a rock band, that is from Vermont. They're on their farewell tour. He talked about how he's going through a divorce, and that a couple days ago, he's down in Georgia, and he gets this strong impression that he needed to go to Montreat. So he drove up here, arriving during our prayer meeting. Well, of course, we ask, can we pray for you? You know, it's like fresh meat to hungry prayers. And I'm not sure he had a choice. There was no getting out of this chapel. We cornered him. But we gathered around, we laid hands on him, we prayed, and soon he was in tears before the Lord, receiving from the Lord blessing and guidance. And what we as the prayer team realized was, wow, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and then watch. Watch, because God will act. That expectancy as we're waiting and praying. God may work in unusual ways, but he promises to act. And so wait with watching expectation. You know, as we work our way through this series on waiting on God, if there's a theme verse, I'd suggest that it is Psalm 62:1. It was part of our call to worship. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. I want to encourage us, and you'll hear this throughout the series, I want to encourage us to cultivate a spiritual practice of waiting on the Lord. Some friends of mine encouraged me a while back to integrate into my devotional time silence before God, waiting in silence on God. And they were doing this about 20 minutes a day. And of course, I asked them, you know, how's that working for you? And both said independently, well, it's kind of tough to quiet the heart. Some days it's pure torture. Other times God's sweetness fills their souls. Well, I tried it for 20 minutes for several days and failed miserably. But for the last few weeks, I've downscaled, okay? But part of my devotions have been to spend 5 minutes. I set my alarm on my phone. Just 5 minutes of quiet waiting before the Lord. And this quiet waiting isn't mindless waiting. In Christian waiting and meditation, we don't empty our minds. We fill our minds with the Lord. And so I open my heart to the Lord. I think of Christ. I delight in him. I acknowledge that he is sovereign, he's good, I am needy. And often without words, I just hold up my life, my plans, my schedule. I commit it all to him. And I trust him. You're going to work. Your purpose is here because you're a good God. And so just with this humble, dependent waiting on the Lord, I'm there before God, and it's a posture of humble dependency and delight in the sovereign God. And you know, the 5 minutes passes pretty quickly, and sometimes I do a second round of 5 minutes. What are you waiting for in this season of your life? I want to close by spending, gosh, how much time? 1 minute. Okay, we'll just do 1 minute. I want to spend 1 minute in quiet before the Lord. Whatever you're waiting on, open your heart to him. Get Christ up. Commit that thing you're waiting for. Roll it onto the Lord. Commit it to him and trust him. He's working. And then wait with a watchful eye. Just be quiet before the Lord. Open your hearts to the Lord.